Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, this morning's Easter meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded, the first one, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 23. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of Christ that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Congregation may be seated. In Christ Jesus, a resurrected and ever living Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, how do you know that Jesus lives? How are you assured that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive again? And does this Savior Jesus really live in your heart? Is he alive in your life, not just this morning, but every day of your lives? These are some very important questions that have eternal consequences to them. For you see, there are many people in the world today, and have always been, that don't believe in the resurrection, even so-called religious people. The Eastern religions of Hinduism and Buddhism, they don't believe in the resurrection, they believe in reincarnation. The body stays dead, the spirit, the soul lives on in different life forms. And there are liberal, so-called Christian professors today who profess that Jesus didn't bodily rise from the dead, his spirit just lives on, as ours will too. And then there are those who live only for this life, who don't believe in any kind of a hereafter. There's no eternity, there's no resurrection, when you're dead and doggone, and that's it. Well, that's kind of what Paul faced in the Roman and Greek world of his day. There are many Corinthians who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. In fact, the pagan Greek philosophy was all that existed was what you could see, the matter of this life. And when you're dead and gone, there was no other existence. A statement to summarize the Greek pagan philosophy would be this: when the dust has drunk the blood of man, and he's once dead, there's no uprising. To them, the resurrection of a dead body was just unreasonable. Today, people would say it's unscientific. It's unprovable. But if one does not believe in the resurrection of the dead, then that person cannot believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Paul's purpose for the verses that make up our sermon text this morning is to show that our whole life is an absolute waste. It is absolutely foolish, futile, and useless if we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Because if the flesh do not rise, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then all of our teaching is useless. It is futile. It's empty. The consequences of dying, Christ's resurrection, is that all gospel teaching then is false. We read again some of the verses from our text, verses 13 to 17. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Paul so clearly demonstrates that the fundamental teaching of the resurrection of the person back to life logically leads then to the denial of Christ's resurrection. And when that doctrine is lost, then salvation is lost. And all of Christianity is one cruel hoax, a bold-faced lie. Then, the Easter Bunny is as important as Jesus, and the Easter of new spring and life is important as new life in Christ. And then Paul says, we're still in our sins. Because Paul wrote in Romans, Jesus was raised to life for our justification. I think that was Caleb's passage this morning. We're justified. We're declared righteous because God accepted his son's sacrifice for all of our sins and raised him from the dead. But if the dead don't rise, then Christ was not risen, and we're still lost and dead in our sins. What a terribly, terribly tragic verse. Verse 19 is, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. If we believe in Jesus Christ only for this life, if there's no resurrection to eternal bliss and glory, then mercy upon us. What a pitiable faith we have. Because we've been believing and trusting all our life that after this life of sorrow and suffering, there is the eternal glory, eternal bliss of heaven. But if there is no eternal bliss in heaven, there is no glory, then what a waste. What a joke. What fools we are. If our Christian hope extends no further than the grave, then we're to be pitied above every single person in this world. But, Paul says, away with all his unbelief, away with all his doubt, and the tragic end and empty dreams. But Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. It is real. Our second text of this morning, actually are the words that took place on Good Friday, after Jesus died. We read Matthew 27, verses 50 to 53. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. What remarkable words. As soon as Jesus died, that 4-inch thick curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. There was an earthquake. Rocks split open. Tombs were opened. And those believers who died believing in Jesus Christ were brought back to life. And they stayed in their tombs Friday night, Saturday, and then on Sunday. After Jesus rose from the dead, they came out of their tombs and they walked around the city of Jerusalem, and people saw them alive. Their empty tombs and the resurrected living bodies were proof positive of the resurrection. And Jesus' empty tomb and his body was positive proof that he too did rise. Earlier this morning, our children stood up here and they recited passages that documented the evidence of Jesus' resurrection. How he was seen by the women, the two Emmaus disciples, the 10 on Easter Sunday evening. We noted that the Romans had to lie to cover up the truth. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical fact, whether it's believed or not believed. It did take place, and therefore our preaching is not in vain. Our faith is not useless. The resurrection is a reality upon which we base our certain assurance of life after death, of eternity. The objects for this morning from our Savior's passion and now his resurrection are the rocks and the empty tomb. And the rocks and the empty tomb symbolize for us, of course, a lesson on life. How comforting this lesson has been to me personally as I stood next to the caskets of dearly beloved brothers and sisters who have died in Christ. And I could boldly say to their families and to the rest of the world, earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, in the sure and certain assurance of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned to his glorious body. The funeral of a Christian is a victory funeral. Yes, Jesus Christ did rise. He's risen from the dead, and he's the first fruits of all who sleep in him, who arise at the end of time. Our Savior promises, because I live, you shall live also. It's the resurrection alone that gives meaning to our lives. The verses after this section, Paul goes back to that thought again, and he says, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Believing in Christ's resurrection not only gives meaning to eternity, it gives meaning to the here and now. Knowing that we're going to be resurrected, and we don't live for this life. We don't live for the things and the glories and the wonders of this life. We appreciate them. We look upon them as a loan from God, gifts that he gives to us to use here in this earth. But every single day of our lives, knowing that we have the resurrection to look forward to, we serve our Savior. And all that we do, whether it be relaxing, studying, working, going to school, knowing that this life is not all there is, gives meaning to your life and to mine. We use what is here. We appreciate what God gives us. But our eyes are fixed on the goal. The goal is not wealth, honor, glory, our next marriage, our big grandchildren, retirement. The goal is eternity. May our lives be filled with the desire to do the one thing needful, and that is to listen to and proclaim the good news of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection back to life. Then we won't despair when life gets tough. We won't despair when we start losing our health and we get old. We won't despair when loved ones die. We're living for the resurrection. We're living for eternity. The rocks in the empty tomb, a lesson on life. The resurrection of Jesus is a lesson on life. Life here and now and here and the hereafter. Good Friday, we said, may we learn the lesson on the cross and the nails well. a lesson on death. So we could understand and appreciate Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes, better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. Well, maybe also learn well this lesson on life. So we can look forward to that day of our death. Because a lesson on life says that when we close our eyes in the sleep of death, we are assured we'll open them again in the resurrection to eternal life. The author C.S. Lewis wrote some interesting words about Christians who live for the next life. He said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most about the next world. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. Then he concludes by saying, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. The assurance of our resurrection gives real meaning to each of our individual lives. We're more than conquerors through our resurrected, conquering, victorious Savior. May this message of the resurrection, this lesson on life, lead us to be faithful stewards in all that we do in this life, so we can answer this question that was once asked of me. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? How would you answer that? We close, the Apostle Paul's closing words of the resurrection chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, stand fast, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.